let's get ready to wrinkle!
I gotta ask, have you guys seen the Power Rangers, the little short film?
I keep meaning to.
Power Rangers came out at just the right time for me to hate it. Like, I was just over kid shows. Well, you were well past, but yeah. I was just over those types of, like, I was still watching like a little bit of Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. And Power Rangers came out and I'm like, this is dumb. But like, everybody's little brother was obsessed with it.
See, my little brother and sister were too, but now... Yeah, my son is obsessed with it because they keep it going, it's got iterations. Oh yeah,
they're actually shooting the fight footage in the U.S. for some of them, whereas back then they were taking footage from a completely different Japanese show,
right,
and making other scenes to make it a coherent Western show. By the way, Power Rangers made it dumb. Actually
Transformers now or something? they were dinosaurs and then they were like samurais or something.
Now it's Power Rangers Voltron edition.
Young Beetles. Or something.
So, Corey, have you heard about this trailer though? I mean, Katie Sackhoff, James Vanderbeek. I mean, this is a fan film, right?
Right.
Is it a trailer or a fan film? It's like a 12-minute little fan film. I guess Katie Sackhoff is in it. Starbuck is in it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Huh. I've seen all over, but oh man, I heard this the James crazy. Vanderbeek, the dude what played the Green Ranger doesn't want you to watch this, and I'm just like, I don't care. It says you lost me at Power Rangers. But now you tell me that Starbuck is in it, which I've always said when Battlestar Galactica was on, I always said Starbuck is the most gorgeous man on television.
She was the most
gorgeous man on TV in that show.
Because she was
real buff, ripped, you know, real rough around the edges. But
had that soft side though too.
Not really. No. No. She was like a sadistic IKEA coffee table. You got anywhere near her, you gonna bleed. I'm just saying.
Oh man.
Oh,
she sure didn't like Colonel Ty.
Yeah, you should check it out, man. There must be some kind of way out of here. James Vanderbeek and Katie Sackhoff and lots of blood and gore and guts and
over the top too.
And it's like the blood splattering
the camera. Yeah. every scene is just blood on the camera.
That's the reboot we deserve.
The producers don't like it. They're complaining about it. You're right. The guy that played Tommy, the Green Ranger, he's a big producer of the show.
And, also kind of a goob.
But they don't like it. I mean, I understand why they don't like it, but they haven't. Basically, the guy that made the movie is like, I'm not taking it down until they send me a cease and desist letter. So it's like still up there.
And it's a fan film.
Yeah, right.
What are we really going to do?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So,
but wow.
Check it out, man. You guys got to check it out.
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
Well, I want to hear how that conversation went. Like, did it go, oh, I love Power Rangers. This will be hilarious. Because she's got a crazy, like, not crazy side. She's mischievous.
She's mischievous, and she's a lot more feminine than you would think, given her role on Battlestar.
Well, I never thought for a second that anyone would be quite that messed up. You know, whatever type of weird human form star angel she was.
Right.
Spoilers.
Are you an angel?
Wizards! Aww. You know, it's been a few episodes since we've said that. Early on in the run, I promised to constantly say that, and I have not fulfilled. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, if you please, to Fly Casual episode number 29. You do, please?
He does.
Well, then an extra special welcome to you, sir. Welcome to a news and... A reviews, they rhyme, and rumors podcast.
Reviews and rumors.
Well, we're going to be talking about the latest episode of Rebels. We're going to talk about Marvel Darth Vader number 2. And then we're going to talk about all kinds of batshite crazy nonsense.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You want to stay tuned in so we can ruin everything. We're going to have you rocking back and forth in a corner crying. You're probably going to be sucking your thumb. 12-step program. Programs inbound. I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me on the left is Mr. Michael J. Archibald. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, Garrick.
Also Garrick. Okay, go.
Garrick, I bought my comics today. Are you proud of me?
Yes. Finally, somebody else can talk about it with me.
I got my Darth Vader 1 and 2, and the comic book store called me today, and they said they've got my Star Wars number 1 on hold. So,
which comic store?
Nice. Comics, Books and Things over on Jefferson.
All right. Well, we can't really give a shout out if you're going to blow. How did you pronounce the name of that store? It is Books, Comics and Things, not Comics, Books and Things.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
They're all in there.
It's the Coors Light. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful chain of stores that we have here in town.
They are.
With
awesome.
Really, really, really great staffs. Both of those.
Staves.
Staves. Wonderful staves.
Some staves. Yeah.
They're really good. They have mad bow staff skills. Hey, did you know the Keep still exists? Howie, did you know this?
I did not know that.
It's they still over, exist? Over, where are they at? Yeah, it's over on Goshen Road. This is great for podcasting. One of our big gaming stores with the Warhammer and the Magic cards and stuff like that.
Okay.
They literally went from opposite end of town to the other.
Wow. Well, if you're not on Goshen Road, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, I hear that. They're over by that bowling alley that I didn't know existed. Right next to it, actually.
Can I mention my comic book store too, then?
Yeah,
please. Plugs that. I go to Comic Book University.
Are you sure it's not Books, Comics University?
No, it's Comic Book.
Comics, go in there, Books, and them, Books and Things and stuff.
Tell them Garrick from Fly Casual sent you in, and they'll give you nothing. They'll probably just look at you funny or something. But
yeah. But they'll probably sell you some comics.
Yeah.
I ended up picking Star Wars Issue 1 and Darth Vader Issue 1 at Clem's Collectibles.
Ah, yeah.
Really? That's where you found those, Stephen J. Howie at Master Control?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, see how we transitioned?
Yeah.
Nicely?
I never think of Clem's as a place to go through.
Right. I didn't either.
They're always, they used to be very sports memorabilia-centric, so I'd walk in there and I'd just break out in hives.
Actually, I think it's...
You know, it's a great store.
It's totally a nerd store that they add that to help supplement the
I always felt like there was this tiny little section of, well, the nerds wander in, so here's some figures some maquettes.
At least half the store, if not more,
I want some of those.
Really?
A quarter of it is Magic cards.
Now, where's Clem's now? Are they at the mall?
They seem to almost be a mobile unit.
Yeah, at the Jefferson Point Mall.
They're across, still there?
Okay. In the middle. Across from Barnes and Noble.
All right. So for all of our Fort Wayne listeners.
Yeah. all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad everybody else knows about that,
Fort Wayne is a, let's be honest, Fort Wayne is a mecca for gaming stores and comic book interests. I have lived in bigger cities that have far fewer. I mean, per capita, we are nerdery is
Chessex well is represented. Here,
yeah, Chessex, the people make all your dice. Are located here. We've got publishers that print like role playing books and game books and stuff like that. And we,
Fly Casual.
Historically,
Fly Casual podcast is based in Fort Wayne.
Well, yeah,
three-fourths of it anyway.
Well, the three that matter.
Well, the heart is here. The heart is here.
That's good. That's true.
I mean, honestly, there used to be a convention, an actual like industry convention where they would host, you know, where comic book store owners and game store owners would come and, you know, look at all the wares that are coming out that year. So it used to be right here. I don't know if it still is or not.
They still do have some nerd conventions downtown.
Yeah, some smaller scale ones. Yeah. But I got to tell you, for the size
nerd
of town.
Conventions?
Yeah, they don't compare to Indy.
Really?
Yeah, what's coming up, Garrick? We got something coming up?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. What's coming up this year, Garrick?
Well, the other Indy.
Yeah.
Oh. In a few
weeks. The other 50 weeks of the year, Fort Wayne's better.
Who's going to be there?
I know.
I heard Carrie Fisher's going to be there.
Carrie Fisher's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, baby.
What?
I want to try to get an interview with her.
Do it.
Let's do it.
You got the mobile recording unit here.
Yep.
And report back in. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to cover, so let's not sit here with our thumbs up our hinder.
Mike? Corey pronunciation.
No, that was just Corey completely blows the English language is what that was. There's a vital difference, Mike.
Speaking of vital differences.
Speaking of reviewing the way I say things, it's time for reviews.
Nope.
There he is.
The third time I hit the button, it's like, oh, you meant you wanted to. We got you covered.
Interesting.
Yep.
So Garrick, what do we got on the plate this week, baby?
Well, there was a new episode of Rebels that came out. Episode 12.
What? Yes.
Officially episode 12, I guess, called
The Penultimate of Season 1. Is that right?
I don't know what penultimate means, but yes, penultimate.
Good. Go with it.
That would be the one before the last one.
Oh, is that what that means?
That's yeah. what that means. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Even though, I'm with you, Gary. Even though the prefix, even though the prefix penta means
thanks
five.
Thanks for admitting that, Howie.
It makes sense.
Yeah, ultimate.
I know.
Penta ultimate.
I know, but I've always think pent ultimate.
Okay.
Pen ultimate.
Okay. Well, that's so you and your pronunciation.
There's a lot of T's
problems.
In that word, regardless.
The pen ultimate 12.
Or just one, but
ultimate I'm not, episode.
I shouldn't sell myself out on the pronunciation of that so quickly because Mike's the one telling me the way it's actually pronounced.
You guys are going to Google it.
Penitent ultimate. See,
yeah, you guys have to Google it to make sure I'm wrong.
Does that have Latin
But
roots?
As long as you're still batting 1,000 at being wrong, your we're just really nice. Oh, wait, no, we're dicks.
Okay, we're going to start a counter on the betterkind.com website. Who mispronounces the most?
Mike Take or anyone else.
Oh, no.
Everyone else combined. Mike versus
I don't
the
talk
world.
As much.
Yeah, I have the advantage of not speaking as many words.
No, instead you just try to make a handlebar mustache.
Yep.
He's how he's sitting there stroking his mustache, trying to turn into Snively Whiplash right before our eyes. Here.
It kind of works. See,
Dick Dastardly. I get the two confused continually.
So you have, what was it? Muttley with him? Is that what the yeah. dog's name was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This came anyway. Up like on Tuesday, Muttley and Dick Dastardly. Anyhow, Rebel Anyhow, Resolve.
Rebels.
Episode of Rebels. Okay.
Rebels.
So real quick recap of this episode. It opens with, huh? Recap?
Yeah. What?
That's, yeah. that's what? A word. So yeah. it opens up what? With the what? Ezra.
Everybody be quiet or he won't be able to finish his sentence. He's been drinking.
I haven't had my Ritalin today, guys. Come on.
No concentration. Okay, here we go.
What's that over there? I mean, Ezra, Sabine, Chopper, and Zeb are attempting to take a control of an ATDP, which is an all-terrain
derpy. Dr. Pepper. All terrain Dr. Pepper.
It's an at dip.
The most delicious of all terrain vehicles.
It's like a progenitor to the ATST. I don't know if I use that word right.
Basically, the default walker through all of Rebels so far.
It's the at dip, which will take the play or will be replaced by the at street.
Yeah, the at point replaced by the at street. Correct.
Exactly.
So hey, as long as you're playing by my rules,
okay,
I'm fine.
All right.
They're trying to abscond with this ATDP in order to get something out of the Imperial network on the location of Kanan and where the Inquisitor and Tarkin, all them, had taken him. Because as you remember from episode 11, Kanan was kidnapped and taken somewhere.
And yeah.
So
that's how they tied that one off for you.
Gather this information and realize that there's no connection to the data network to get the information from. So they make a quick escape, get away, and it kind of cuts to Kanan getting kind of talked to by the Inquisitor a little bit. And by
getting inquisited.
Force choked, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
But somehow the Inquisitor is able to inflict pain on people using the Force, and I'm not exactly sure how he does that.
It looked kind of like a Force choke.
Yeah, kind of. He kind of had his hand over his chest area, so I don't know if he was like squeezing his heart or I don't know. But he was...
Purple, no purple.
Kanan ended up resisting it and kind of like talking back to the Inquisitor all smart.
Yeah, he got straight up sassed.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, he sassed him. So the Inquisitor's like, oh, really, fool? So how do you like this? And he pulls over some lightning rods, which, real quick, why doesn't the Inquisitor shoot lightning out of his fingertips?
Hey,
sometimes he might not be super... He might be Sith-like influenced, but he's not super Sith.
Maybe. I'm just saying, Garrick, you know, why do you drive a car to work when you can walk?
That's true.
If you got a machine to do it for you, sit back and relax, right?
If I could shoot lightning on my fingertips and fly to work, I'd do that instead. I'm just saying. I don't know what that
is. if I could fly and shoot lightning out of my hands, I'd be a rich man.
I have no counterpoint for you.
That's right, you don't. So he's getting inquisited by the Inquisitor and
Inquisitated.
Tarkin, so it cuts it back away to... our group on the Phantom, which I don't know. I know I mentioned this in past, but I really like the Phantom. It's really awesome. With the little
Phantom or the ghost?
Pops.
The ghost.
Both of them.
You like the ghost. The Phantom is what gets pooped out of the ghost.
Oh, like the little mini ship.
Yeah, the Phantom's the is the poop.
I like the Ghost. I like both of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, they get this plan together to kind of find Kanan, but Hera gets in contact with Fulcrum again on a transmission. Uh-huh. That
Which,
she
by the way, and, this time, far more clear are the female influences in the voice.
I'm glad, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
The first time, I didn't hear it at all, and you said the remodulated voice was clearly female and sounded a lot like, what's her name?
Ashley Eckstein,
who does the voice of Ahsoka Tano. Of Ahsoka, right? Tano.
Oh, yes.
Tano or Tanu, depending on Mike mispronunciation. Oh, and but this time, like, it was very, even modulated, very clearly a female voice.
Well, and I think the difference this time was there was a lot more dialogue, though, right?
There was.
Right.
There was. There was far more. There was more back and forth.
Right.
Right. It was a different form of transmission, too. This one was over the Holovid. Instead
yeah, right. So you actually figure. Saw a hooded figure, right? Right.
Right. So maybe
right,
the,
guys.
Right.
Sound,
right.
Sound is integrity that was a little bit better.
Right. Yeah.
So basically, Fulcrum tells Hera to like not go after Kanan because they've already attracted too much attention to themselves, and going after Kanan would just be putting the rebellion at risk, and they can't really do that at this time.
Right, because so, right now, because of their transmission that they made in the episode prior, all eyes are on them, or all ears are on them. Right. Now that they have names in the public perception, if anything bad happens to them, that would do really bad, it would do damage to public perception, which I think is a brilliant point to make in a show like this. We're like, all right, you pretty much came out of the proverbial closet with this, so now... You know, it's all out in the open. Well, so you got to be responsible for this for what everybody knows.
In
now.
In my opinion, this might have been the most important scene in the whole thing, and the dialogue there, because really what happened there, if you pay attention, was that this went from just a small band of pirates kind of messing around to inspiring a larger rebellion. This is really, I mean, we talk about spark of rebellion. Mm-hmm. It's this group. They sparked that. Mm-hmm. And what Fulcrum is telling her is that this is bigger than we realize now.
Yeah.
Just because of that transmission, what you guys have done. So, you know, at this point, going after Kanan is not an option because this is so big now that one person is just not important enough to risk everything about. The rest of the group is too important now to risk being captured.
You can say the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. Oh, right. No.
Oh.
Anyway, Fulcrum, I think concerning this conversation they had, and we mentioned something like this in our last episode, but Fulcrum basically says they caught a lot of attention, not just from, you know, on that planet, but from the highest levels of the Empire.
Right.
So I think what we're going to talk about later, kind of like with the previews coming out with Darth Vader being in him, it's like he is the highest level of the Empire pretty much, so.
You know, that, minus that one.
Minus one, right. Or two, who knows. So, Fulcrum basically says, you know, hey, leave it be. Get out of there. Go into hiding. Go dark, you know, until this all blows over, I guess. So, Hera kind of breaks the news to the rest of the crew, and they kind of are taken aback a little bit. Like, why aren't we going after him? Especially Ezra, who's basically like, what? No, you know, we have to go get him. This is stupid. Why are you doing this? So he, I guess, behind the scenes hatches a plan with Sabine and Zeb to go off.
No, Zeb wasn't in on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was Sabine and Chopper.
That's right, I forgot.
And they just kind of, they dragged Zeb along because they just assumed, well, he's a mindless big oaf, so he'll just go with what we tell him. So he figures out the plan while he's already in the middle of it with them.
He's like, oh, yeah, okay. Phantom, and he's like, oh, by the way, it's happening right now. Let's go. And he's like, oh, I guess so. Here we go. So they go off. Chopper sets a distraction. They take the Phantom and detach from the Ghost and go fly off. And you find out they're meeting with Visago, who is the Devonorian.
I will kill you. I will kill you, but good. I knew he was going to do it, too. Devonorian, you butthole.
I guess, what is he, a smuggler?
Arms dealer, smuggler.
Arms dealer, really, yada, really yada, yada. Not really up and up
kind of guy. His resume doesn't exactly have fixed boundaries.
Right, but I guess he does have a lot of information that people want to buy from him. So I guess that's why this group goes to find him. So Ezra manages to convince him to help them by you know, basically selling out himself and Kanan by telling him they're both Jedi.
Right. Which he doesn't believe him at first. And Ezra very, very simply convinces him. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, how about this crate over your head that I'm going to drop on you? There you go. Jedi.
So. Those crates float anyway.
Yeah. They have hover sleds on the bottom.
Exactly.
He has to kind of make a proverbial deal with the devil. I guess it's not too proverbial
because he looks like the devil. He decides to help him, but he's like, you know, all right, what do I have to do in return? He's like, I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, it's like you're you have in to do whatever debt. I ask. And he's like,
I'm going to give you this little tidbit of information, and I'll let you know when I need your help.
You've been straight up Corleoned in the face.
That's right.
Straight up.
And one of my favorite parts of this episode is when they're getting ready to strike the deal and Visago kind of bows and Kane, or Ezra just kind of like
grabs that his horn and shakes it. He grabbed his horn. I am so glad you that brought that good, up.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's like when he makes a deal.
What are you doing?
Visago's under the, he's under the impression that when you strike a deal, you both bow to each other, kind of like how we would shake hands, right? But Ezra has no idea, does not pick up on this cultural thing at all. So reaches out and touches one of his horns. Like,
wait, what are you doing? Oh. Like, what's wrong with you, kid?
It's such a serious moment that then they break up with this whole,
you know. And then thing. Ezra bows and he's like, you know what? You're doing it wrong. Never mind.
You're overdoing it. Because Ezra bows so ceremonially to the ground at that point. He's like, you know what? Forget it. Not worth it.
So he ends up telling Ezra that, you know, the system, because they blew up the communication towers in the last episode, they don't have any long range, you know, communications. So they're kind of doing it through courier droids. And I guess Ezra kind of gets an idea from that. He leaves Visago's ship and comes across the his crew, and Hera's there, and she's not too happy.
Nope. She's got her mom face on. Yeah, but she's good.
Like, actually, you know what? With Hera in this particular scene, that's the most, like, I think, rage and like losing control I've
seen.
She's
always adapting pretty easily, but in this case, she's like, y'all done pushed the wrong button.
Yeah.
You saw the mama bear come out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's full mama bear mode. She comes out, her eyebrows are furrowed, and she's just laying into Ezra and the rest of them. And Ezra's kind of like, hey, and she berates him for, like, you don't know who you made a deal with. You know, that was stupid. He's like, well, I got information. He's a little bit, but she's like, a little bit. And he kind of hatches this plan to steal one of these courier droids and replace a Chopper with this droid to go up and get
swap a droid, stick in Chopper with a paint job, because they paint Chopper regularly, who manages to insta rust all over again in the next episode.
which is interesting. I mean, that's pretty cool how he just rusts automatically. That must be his force power. Force rust.
Yeah, force rust. He's a force C droid.
Actually, they have that tool they have in Cars 2 where they turn Mater into different
You got further into Cars 2 than I think most people.
Wow. No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Cars 2.
Can I say the courier droid thing first? Can I address that for a second?
Do that.
Yeah. So they don't have long range communications. So what they're doing is they're sending courier droids up into orbit to send communications from the ships in orbit. And I'm sitting there going, why not use the short range communications to the ships in orbit and just have them relay at long range? So I had to tell myself, well, no, that the short range communications would be not secure. That's what I had to tell. Like this, I had to take a leap of faith on this one, which I didn't, which kind of sat funny with me. I'm like,
it's all right.
Kind of gimmicky. First part of the episode, I think we were kind of, because there was no communications, even with the ATDPs, I think it was kind of the impression that there was no short range either, maybe. And they already knew that. I don't know.
It just seems weird to me. I mean, considering you can hold a comm link the size of your thumb, and I can hold a comm link the size of my thumb, and we can be miles apart and use them easily.
Yeah, but those are Bluetooth.
No, I'm not talking about in real life.
It doesn't work.
I'm talking about in Star Wars.
I know what you're talking about.
There was a definite leap of faith. I'm okay with things that, like, depart from my expectations, but when it's a vital part of the heist or the plan, I don't like to get it too stretchy. And I felt like this one took a little bit of liberty in that regard with the, we got to take away the cell phones to, you know, it's kind of like watching shows, you know, that still, like TV still relies on flip phones a lot. because they don't want everybody to have a smartphone because they don't want the characters to have answers at their fingertips all the time. You know, mm-hmm. like you still want there to be some mystery. So everyone on TV still has a flip phone, even though like most companies don't even sell flip phones anymore. And so that it's one of those things where it's like, all right, we're just having to accept this kind of weirdness. Not a big deal. Something I noticed. That's all. I've aired my grievance. Proceed.
And there's another thing I noticed is that those two stormtroopers that guard the shuttle where the R, it was an R4 unit, I guess, that model unit that came down as the courier yeah. droid, and they see him leave. And, you know, the stuff transpires. They intercept this R4 unit and Chopper takes his place without his guard. I mean, those stormtroopers must be stupid because he looks nothing like the R4 unit that left the ship.
That's
in the
first thing. Place. Well, it's not just one R4 units. They even say they're using the R4 units to do this. They're using these new yeah. droids. And Chopper looks nothing like one at all.
I'm like, okay.
I had to
suspend disbelief for that one. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, so droids are, you know, here we have astromech droids are like, you know, they're like fleas. I mean, they're just like, whatever, I don't care. You know, hey, look, you know, so. That guy's not maybe, carrying a Mac. He's carrying a Sony Vaio. I don't care. I don't know racist. About computers. Hey.
Stormtroopers are like droid racists. They all look the same to them, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree with you there. That was another thing where it was just kind of like,
they're all the same.
You know, I know it's a 21-minute show, but I feel like we could have written that a little better.
Right. Anyway, let's just look past all that nonsense. And Chopper boards the, Imperial shuttle. Looks kind of like a Lambda class, but a little bit bigger. It goes up into space and it docks with the communication ship. And Chopper gets out. He goes to the bridge and immediately starts downloading.
Mention how
everything.
It docks. That
yeah,
ship
it docks. That it doesn't ship, fold all the way down. It folds.
I felt
sideways.
Like I was watching like a little bit of like porno. You've got like the Star Destroyer esque ship in orbit, but rather than just being triangular, it's split down the middle, kind of like the Millennium Falcon has right. split down the middle, right?
Right.
And this Imperial landing craft comes up, and it's I don't know dorsal fin, you know, whatever the wing, what's on top, just slides right in between there and just wedges itself in, and I'm just kind of like, ooh. That's like it just I mean it was kind of cool but yeah, like, kind of like ooh, because that would literally be like the only ship that would do that with this other ship, and I'm like, design wise I felt like it was kind of odd.
It was different.
I always am, because they've done so exceptionally so far that I've now I'm comfortable pulling out the microscope a little bit.
Yeah,
so it was kind of it was kind of cool, but at the same time just kind of ooh.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're doing different things with different ships to kind of make it cool, or
and they're
or
always trying to show they don't want to just show us the same old thing, you know, right. which we got a lot of that in Clone Wars, you know, it's like, oh look, it's just another, you know, arc 170 or whatever. So that's fine.
So Chopper boards the ship. He gets the information. He goes directly to the bridge and gets all this information on where Kanan is being held, and he ends up attracting too much attention on the bridge, and the ghost kind of has to shoot at the ship to make an escape, and Chopper just jettisons a bunch of stormtroopers into space as well as himself, and he flies over to the ghost and they get the information.
Yeah, can I tell you that little rocket booster that Chopper has in him, a little more powerful than I expected it to be.
Yeah,
he fires off like a concussion missile. That dude just rockets off into space.
Oh yeah, he's a pretty cool guy, that Chopper guy.
Yeah, Chopper
guy. They find out that Kanan is on Mustafar, which apparently what Hera says is where Jedi go to die.
And, that's and what's that about?
Interesting. Yeah, that was
I hope they back that up.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. Yeah, I mean,
no joke.
Because I'm not aware of any that have died there. I mean, there may have been one or two.
Anakin did maybe.
Well, I was going to.
Anakin died there.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe possible. They started using that as a place to take Jedi and kill him, but that feels weird to me. Why would Vader want to go back to that place?
Yeah.
Because that's where, well, he lost, you know, limbs and burnt up. And
maybe it's a thing where he's just like, you know, he puts them on the low ground. He's like, I'll show you high ground, and just murders everybody. He's like envisioning Obi-Wan's face on them, or he makes them wear an Obi-Wan mask and then kicks their butts.
That was
definitely some weirdness. I do hope they flesh that out, because that
Yeah.
I feel like this episode was full of a lot of little weirdnesses, and I think that one was one of the story-wise, one of the more glaring ones.
It would make sense to kind of for the Emperor to make a base there that Vader would have to operate out of or something, just to keep him in check, to keep him off balance with that like emotional attachment.
Here's the place you choked your wife.
I mean, I see where you're going with that, and I hope that it fleshes out that way, because it feels weird to me right now. So.
Yeah, I hope that's not left dangling.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for sure. On the next episode's the season finale, because this one was the penultimate or whatever. So I guess we'll see what happens, maybe, unless they get him before they get to Mustafar. Who knows?
Mustafa.
I don't know. Mustafar or Mustafar. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Mustafar.
Mustafar. Must go to Mustafar.
Yeah, it's Mustafar.
Yep. Yeah. I overall think it's a pretty good episode. I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but it was definitely just a linking episode to the finale.
Yeah, it was another run-up. Right.
It was a run-up. I always get picky about run-ups. I'm always, you know, I'll start nitpicking them because I'm like, well, if you're not going to give me a full-fledged plot to distract me, I'm going to start paying attention to every detail because I feel like I'm supposed to be, because you're setting something up. You know, so,
I kind of wish they just what they did at the beginning with the big long movie. I kind of wish they just did that at the end with these three. I don't know how long the finale is going to be. I assume it's going to be half an hour. But I kind of wish they just made it an hour and a half movie.
It's going to be. I can tell you, it'll be a 22-minute episode, is what they've said. So
yeah,
okay. So it's not going to be like a big one.
Just
go out on a movie, because this one and the finale would probably run, I would imagine, really well into each other as one cohesive.
Oh, it's going to end on a cliffhanger.
I can tell you why. Ad sales.
That's true.
You got more that you can sell in the front and the back. You got another.
That's a shame.
You got two more weeks of lead ins and lead outs. You know, it's what drives the industry. I'm okay with them breaking up. It'll be fun when I go back and watch them again. You know, but just, you know, powering through.
But breaking up marathon is hard to do.
So what do you guys think? So, I mean, with the finale coming up, do you guys, I mean, how much Vader are we going to see? Are we going to see Fulcrum revealed? What do you guys think?
Are you asking if we're going to see Fulcrum revealed at the end of this next episode?
Right. Or is that the cliffhanger and we find out?
Before this episode, I would have said no chance, but man, did they make it so much more obvious.
It was pretty obvious
that
me.
Fulcrum was a lady who sounds a little like Ahsoka. Yeah. So,
yes, they did.
So is that, I mean, the rumors are that we're going to get that reveal, but do we get it in this finale or do we get it next season?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's one thing that as much as I really love this show, I have not figured out the pacing of the overall story. I never seem to be able to predict when they're just going to throw in a filler episode. Right. And I don't mean to, you know, filler episode is a harsh term. I don't mean to devalue those episodes. Those tend to be ones I really like because they just go, all right, let's do some character development without getting too hot and heavy. Right. But I have no way. I'm really bad at predicting when they're going to do that. Their pacing doesn't align with my expectations at all, which isn't a bad thing. No. As a viewer, it keeps me on my toes.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, I don't think any of us saw Tarkin coming.
No.
You know, two episodes ago. Right. So
yeah, it's one of those things where I legitimately don't have a prediction. It could go either way. So when it comes to Vader's size,
how much involvement?
I still think Vader's going to be minuscule. I feel like we're going to get very little Vader until we have full on Ahsoka involvement in this show. And who knows? That could be seasons away.
Oh,
but like,
can you imagine
the dynamic between
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a fight.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
Have you not thought about this? At some point,
Ahsoka and Vader
are going to have to square off in some fashion. It has to happen, right?
I
would hope so.
That feels like a lot of fun, man.
Everything is right with the world.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the greatest opportunity because, Padme's dead. Vader has no connection to his kids. The best connection he's going to have is Return of the Jedi. So the biggest thing that could make Vader struggle with his humanity again is Ahsoka.
Yeah.
There is no one. He kills Obi-Wan. We know how that plays out. There is only really one character in all of Star Wars that can make him have to wrestle with his humanity for even half a second, or make him make it surprising that he chooses to be brutal and go with brutality.
Yeah.
Which that will hurt as a viewer to see him, but that's the trump card.
Man, yeah, I really haven't given that much thought, but boy, that could be huge. Yeah. Man. That could be really huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but that's got to be a ways off. Because like I said, it's a trump card.
Right, it feels like it's huge.
So I feel like you're still going to, I think, I'll gladly be wrong if I am, but I still think Vader's just going to be little bitty snippets for a while.
Okay, let me throw this at you guys too, because there's rumors about, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping the gun on the rumors, but we're talking about Rebels, so I'm just going to throw it in there. But there's, with the trailers that have come out this week, there's kind of a hint maybe in the trailers for the finale episode that maybe somebody kind of bites the bullet in this one.
Yeah. Who will fall? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Who will fall? Yeah. What do you guys,
well, if it's falling, it's gotta be one of the bad guys into a pit, right? We've established that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because in the preview, it shows the Inquisitor fighting Ezra and Kanan on what looks like to be that battle's place on Naboo, where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan fought Darth Maul.
Yeah, it looks exactly
like that.
I saw that on the next week on Rebels that played at the end of the episode this week. And I immediately went, wait a minute, that's not Mustafar, that's Naboo. And if they try to make that just be a normal thing that's everywhere, I'm going to throw up. Because that room was ridiculous, even in episode one. It was cool looking, and it was a great fight scene, but that room was ridiculous.
Right. I hope the Inquisitor falls into a pit. I really do.
Well, when it becomes his time, he will. I mean, there's just no doubt.
Well, just like you pointed out. He may get
beheaded, he's still going to fall into a pit.
I was going to say, you pointed out, I mean, the Inquisitor, I mean, we're not really attached to him. We could lose him at any point, right?
No, we have not. Other than the fact that there's a substantial actor doing the voice for the Inquisitor, we've got no reason to think that the Inquisitor is long-term.
Right.
We've not been that grounded in him. We've not had that many opportunities to fear him other than the episode where he squared off, you know, and with Kanan and with Ezra. And then the episode where Ezra is, you know, all but, you know, force hallucinating.
Okay. But tell me how likely it is that they kill off Kanan.
This early?
What does that do for you if they kill Kanan in this episode?
I don't know. That sounds like something you would do in Star Wars Episode 4 when you kill off Obi-Wan.
I don't know.
I think Mike brings up a good point.
I don't know.
Luke, I mean, there's a whole comic series coming up, though.
But that's a prequel series. I mean, that's not going to be post, you know, Rebels. So,
which seems like another way to cash in on somebody who might have just bit the big one.
Yeah, I that's what I was saying when they started hinting at somebody. I was like, well, oh, and I was like, I wonder.
I say, I don't think so. But you bring up an excellent point. We've already got precedent for that.
I'll be okay with that if he bites it and Ahsoka takes his place. I'd be okay with that.
If who takes? Oh, Ahsoka takes his place. Yeah, what if he hangs around as a Force ghost?
No. Okay, maybe a little bit.
I don't know. Well, he wouldn't know those tricks, would he?
No, he shouldn't.
He should not know how to do that.
Right? Only Yoda and Obi-Wan know how to do that.
And Obi-Wan are the only ones. And then magically,
apparently Darth Vader Anakin. Somehow.
Yeah,
magically Anakin.
Magically Anakin does. So that was a retcon thing that didn't make a lot of sense. No. But that's okay.
A lot of things make sense.
We accept it. So, all right. Well, hey, why don't we just move along? Well, wait. Let's give it a rating. You know, we said not the best. Okay. How many Weequay out of Sarlacc?
Whoa!
Normally you see Weequay is going into Sarlacc. So
you can. There's a lot of Weequays in a Sarlacc.
I know, thousands of years worth of Weequays. Wow. I'm just saying,
50%.
I'm gonna throw this one out. This one's.
I'd say this is a 3 out of 5.
Three out of five. Yeah, I was gonna say 6 out of 10. Yeah. Same neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'd say five out of eight.
Not awful. Yes. Nothing that really stood out, but it's a setup for what's next. And we're all questioning things, so that's good. Yeah. I mean, it's doing its job.
It's making us talk. It's making absolutely. So all right, let's move on then to Marvel Darth Vader number two.
I feel weird
putting Marvel at the front of all of these. Marvel Darth Vader.
You don't like
it's kind of like he's another incarnation of Captain Marvel. Like, oh, Carol Danvers bit it, so now Darth Vader's taking up the mantle. Ooh, like, don't worry, I'll join the Avengers and save everyone. Wait a second.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind of awesome.
Write that down. Hold on.
Yeah. Get that in your notes. Good. Our fanfic is going to skyrocket.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But Darth Vader number two, he's fresh off his Tusken Raider killing spree, I suppose.
Decides to go back. One of several.
Space. So this issue opens up with an Imperial shuttle getting attacked by what appears to be a CR-90 blockade runner. Corellian manufacturer.
Can we just call it a Corellian Corvette, please?
I'm gonna call it the CR-9er Zero.
It was not meant. It was not. That ship was not designed to run blockades. That was a function of that particular ship at that particular time. It's a Corellian Corvette. I'll hear
this. CR-90's
fiction.
Fine. I do what I want.
I accept CR-90. The CR-90.
Okay,
let's call it
the CR-9er. Okay, it's being under Imperial shells under attack by the CR-90. And they're about to be destroyed when Vader comes in and kind of saves the day by destroying everything and disabling the blockade runner, which he soon finds is
with his mind or with a ship.
No, with his he flies with his TIE Advanced.
Oh, so he's in that bad boy. Okay,
yes,
he got that replaced.
Oh yeah, so he swoops in up, with that. No, yeah, he was still in it at the end.
Yeah, he spun off and then got control the last second.
So someone picked him up, brought him back. Ship's still good. So he disables it, finds out it doesn't have a crew on it. It's actually being robotically controlled from afar. So they kind of take control of the ship, and Vader boards the Star Destroyer, where we come across someone who I thought was dead.
Yeah, I did too. Not. That was interesting. Yeah,
I thought he blew up with a Death Star, but you remember Cassio Tage, however you say that? T-A-G-G-E.
If you go back to episode four, New Hope, in the conference room, he's the guy. Dude
with the wicked sideburns?
Yeah, but he's in the conference room in the Death Star. He's the one. He's the skeptic that basically says...
Yeah, the guy gets force-choked.
Yes, he's the guy that gets force-choked.
Cut? I thought he had like curly hair.
It's not the guy who gets force-choked. The guy who gets force-choked is Mahdi.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
It's different. He's the guy with the really bad haircut and the really awesome sideburns.
Yeah, isn't he the guy that says we are vulnerable?
Yes, we are vulnerable.
Until this battle station is fully operational, we are vulnerable.
Wow. Right.
He kind of doesn't underestimate the rebellion like everyone else is doing. He kind of is the more realistic person of the
group. He's basically the guy that we learn in this that... He doesn't put all... Tarkin and everybody's putting all their eggs in the Death Star.
Right.
And this guy has a broader vision. He's like, no one asset is worth
everything.
Everything.
I thought that was cool because that's basically against what the Emperor believes. I mean, he thinks assets are just there as a tool, not necessarily how you operate like the Death Star.
Right.
Like he basically calls Vader a tool.
Yeah.
He said, what does he say? He says something like, you're a tool, but with my hand, if I wield you with my hand, then you become great or something like that. I don't know, something stupid.
Balls.
Well, here's the thing, though. Absolutely. Vader has been commanded by the Emperor, you will obey him and you will do what he says.
Oh, interesting.
So Vader at this point is, you would expect him to just like, screw you. I'm going to do what I want.
Which I do what I want.
Kind of he does, but you'll see. But the Emperor has commanded this, he gives this guy his due.
Right. He's Grand General. That's what he makes made it clear to Vader that he's Grand General Cassio Tage.
What did you think about that? You
throw grand in front of anything and it makes him better. Give him a white uniform with gold tassels.
I'm trying to understand the whole Grand General thing because...
He's
commanding
the Grand Army of the Republic. Holy crap, he's been doing it for years.
An admiral is someone that commands a star fleet. So, this guy's on a Death Star, on a Star Destroyer, so... I'm not understanding the general
comics. Tag.
Maybe he's just in charge of planet side troops or something. I don't know.
All right. Well,
but anyway, Tage assigns a kind of like a spy, I guess, or someone to monitor Vader's actions at every turn to kind of report back what's going on. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it works very well.
Yep.
So basically,
and this guy's smear.
So this guy basically starts getting in Vader's business, and which, if I don't know if you know Vader very well, but that's probably not very wise.
Yeah,
he kind of monitors his transmissions and kind of brings up, hey, there's these messages you got from some dude named Boba Fett. And he's like, hey, leave those alone. Those are mine. Don't touch them.
Those are personal.
Well, maybe your password shouldn't be password then. Vader.
Good point. So they get, they, I guess they repair this blockade runner and they find out the where it originated. So they're going, they get on this blockade runner, go to the origin and find a three person or three species rebellion outpost and kind of storm the outpost and just like lay waste to everything. And Vader has a little R4 unit that I guess is his little buddy, goes in and kind of gets all this information out of the data banks while Vader's basically ripping droids apart.
I think you're missing what actually happened there. The droid is actually planting information. He's not extracting information.
Oh, is that what he's doing? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, right. I did miss that.
Do you all get right. that? Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. That makes sense later on. Okay.
Mike buying the comics to back you up.
I read it twice. I'm like, what is this droid doing? It's just
no. He's planting information. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
You should have known when the speech bubble said that the droid was saying warble warble doo doo doo.
I guess Vader, it kind of communicates to Vader like, okay, it basically just says boop, I'm done. I guess that's what boop means. I don't translate droid very well.
Yeah, but
Vader does go in and put something in the data terminal or whatever. I guess he gets some information out, so maybe that's where he gets the plant. So they end up, the rebels there end up setting off the self-destruct, but everyone gets out in time. Vader comes back to where Taki is, to his Star Destroyer, and kind of has the guy who is tailing him by the shirt collar and kind of dumps him on the ground. He's like, oh yeah, that dude's already a spy. Dead. Dude's a spy. You should check your stuff more closely. So Vader goes to the R4 unit. He's like, hey, good job. Now, go. So the R4 droid ejects itself out of the airlock and blows up. He's like, okay. Or he made sure his data was wiped first. So I guess that makes sense that he wanted to make sure the R4's data was wiped.
The R4's data, the upload to the ship was to plant the seed that this guy was a spy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want nobody tagging him and being in like, up in his business. So it was his excuse to be able to kill the guy, then dump him in front of this general and say, don't do that. Check out your guys before you give them to me.
Yeah, come on, man.
Nice.
So, that's kind of the end. It was a pretty good issue. I don't know if it was, I would say it was as good as the first one. It was still really enjoyable because you get that kind of, it's kind of just like, yeah, here's Vader and here's what he does. He's crazy.
The one thing I liked was I noticed that when they were attacking the outpost, the rebel outpost, that the rebels had the droid decas.
What did you call them?
You guys say it.
No, this is legit.
Yeah, whatever.
Droid decas?
Sure.
Is that like is that a French droid made by Bill Cosby? Well, this is a droid decas.
They're no match for droid decas.
Oh, see, I've always thought of them as droid decas.
Okay, whatever.
The accent. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. What do they call? Yeah, they have another name. What do they call them?
Droid
decas. The hunter killers or something like that. They had like a really generic name for them at some point.
But they're using them. I don't know. I like the mix up of, I guess the assets, so to speak, between the different sides.
Right.
So.
It was interesting that a lot of this stuff was mentioned in the Tarkin book because he came across a band of rebels that kind of were using outdated technology from the Clone Wars. They were using the robots and stuff like that. So
it's
really interesting that I guess I don't know if it was intentional, but you kind of see that crossover, kind of like a cohesive canon forming a little bit with this new stuff coming out. So I appreciated that too.
What did you guys, speaking of droid decas, do you guys remember when you first saw episode one and these wacky things rolled out and legs popped out, guns popped out, and then all of a sudden bloop, a blue shield the force fields, appears. Right.
Do you remember destroyers? That's what they call them.
Destroyers. That's right.
Right.
Do you remember peeing a little when you saw that?
I thought it was cool. I mean, at the time,
when I saw that,
I was going to say you got to talk about
Yeah.
At that point in the movie, that's all we've seen up to that point. You have
no idea where this movie's going with your emotions.
Right. And the very beginning, the first few scenes are pretty cool. Everything
you're seeing is just making it better and better, even though now you watch it, the first few scenes, you're like, I know, it still kind of sucked then. Yeah. But I remember seeing those shields pop up, and I realized it's the first time we'd seen like a personal scale shield.
Sure, right.
And that alone. Outside of the video games, exactly. That alone made me pee a little. And I like remembering those feelings from episode one because I can't have them again.
Right.
And episode one over, you know, I'm so not appreciative of that. It's fun to go back and identify those little things that I very much was appreciative of.
I'd say those are one of the things about episode one that I do like was those first, 10, 15 minutes before they met Jar Jar.
I hate to reduce it that way, but that's really the truth. I mean, seriously. And it's not just Jar Jar, but from that point in the movie on,
you're just like, but up until you get to the final fight. I mean, it's the two Jedi.
The pod race was cool. I did too.
I still get
an adrenaline rush from watching that, even though I obviously know the outcome, but I love that.
Remember when we set up episode one racer on the TV and we put a box fan under the TV? Yeah, we moved a chair right in front of it. On the Nintendo 64, and we had the TV, we put a chair right in front of it and a box fan. So you played it with the air blowing on you.
Brother.
And this is,
you guys are dorks.
This is lo-fi. We didn't know what this is, but we did this in the lobby of our dorm building.
You're even bigger dorks than
I thought. Was out in front of the public view, you know, and people were coming by and other people wanted to try it. And people would sit down and they're like, whoa, this is kind of freaking me out a little. Like that air blowing your face was just enough. I mean, we didn't have like a stereo system or anything hooked up, just crappy TV sound, but the air blowing your face was like just enough to make that like really intense. Yeah, that was fun.
That was
good.
Awesome.
Good memories. Yes. Well, gentlemen, I think it's time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Porkins. I love me some Porkins. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Again.
All right.
Again.
Yeah. As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Still.
Yeah.
This don't got nothing to do with the dude what played Porkins.
What?
But did you know that Yoda was almost played by a monkey wearing a mask and holding a cane?
Whoa.
That'd have been hilarious.
It would have been.
There's pictures on Twitter, man. As writer Greg Gilman put it, the pictures serve as another reminder of what could have been has George Lucas' talented production team not been brave enough to call out a bad idea when they seen one.
What just happened? I'm not sure.
I actually, he submitted this one to me ahead of time so that I could do some background research. And yeah, there's, well, that music goes on a long time, doesn't it? And there are pictures out there from when they were doing test shoots with the monkey holding a cane.
I still wouldn't watch that. I would have loved it.
Because they wanted to be able to show him walking. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. You only get like one scene, one shot in the whole movie. And it's like, come, where Yoda's like, yeah, you know, right, walling off. And come. But yeah.
And that was a monkey? Or
a rhesus. It was like Ross from Friends monkey. It was like a little rhesus monkey with a cane. And a mask. This has
nothing to do with Porkins, but okay.
That makes me like he needs to have like, you know, like a Rodian with like a little like turn box behind him. Like,
that's awesome. I'll never watch that scene again the same way.
Sorry, man.
Wow.
Sorry, little. Yeah. I said, hey, that's not Porkins, but yeah, I think that's
out of left field. But I think all right.
The listeners need to hear it because I don't think a lot of people know that. I didn't know that.
Thank you, Porkins. Something.
Well, all right. Without further ado, it is time to mess up your life with rumors.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the music is ominous.
It is. Stay away if you don't want to hear stuff you don't want to know.
Our music is weird. We make the ominous songs from the movies sound really like upbeat and happy. We make the like upbeat songs from the movies sound really ominous. We're creepy people.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. We turn it on its head.
Well, boys, it's all in the name. We all know that Corey loves the name Poe Dameron. Right?
Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron.
Sure do.
So
it's my favorite.
I'm getting used to it.
I'm sure if we keep grinding this into the ground, I probably will too.
I'm not getting used to it, man. It's getting worse for me, actually. Yeah,
well, it's because you haven't reached the pinnacle of hatred. See, I get there quickly. I blow my wad immediately when it comes to hating things, if you guys haven't noticed yet. So then I just gradually get over it.
Greg,
I have no idea what you're talking about. That one, I'm still trying to figure out a way through, Howie. I'm still trying to figure out how to cope with that.
Well, boys, supposedly we've got rumors this week of new character names that have hit the web. So I'm going to throw them. I mean, they've got other things attached to them. They're trying to.
Alana.
Some of the rumors are going, oh, this guy's doing this and this guy's doing that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw them out to you. And I'm going to let you guys react to them. Dash. No, they're none of those names. I'm sorry. They're not any of those names.
The Wizards of Oz.
Okay. So our first name that I'm going to throw out to you, and we're going to gauge the Star Wars-ness
Kim Jong-un
of these names. Okay.
That's a perfect one.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, might as well be, right?
Well, Poe we just Dameron got flagged.
Racist.
Racist bastards.
Anyway.
All right. The first one I got on my list. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Nah, probably not really. I mean, if, let's be honest. This is probably going to be a little bit heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking to me. I'm just going to tell
you. Oh, man. If Mike's already down about it, I might as well just lay down on the floor.
Here's the first one. That's because he's not
pronouncing them right.
Yeah, wait. Do we have to see them visually?
All right. Here we go. You guys ready? The first one is Brants.
What?
B-R-A-N-C-E, Brants.
Brants?
Is that a first name or last name?
I don't know.
Does there anybody in this freaking world have a mono or a multisyllabic first name, for God's sake?
Apparently not. Apparently everybody just has, monosyllabic names.
Poe Raven.
Poe, Brants. Yeah, Brants. I heard that on another podcast this week, and somebody said, yeah.
What?
Poe Ray me, or Poe Ray Finn, and I'm just like.
You listen to another one?
Yeah, didn't you, Garrick? What did you listen to this week?
No, it's not talking about other people's podcasts.
Exactly. Don't rag on Mike for listening to other podcasts. Oh, man, his
gloves are coming off in here. Open a window. It's starting to man stink up in here.
The point is, no, you're hitting on something, though, man. I mean, the monoslavic names,
Are they even trying over there? It's like, dude, let's take a one name that's like two names that are real and combine them, and then they sound real, but they're a new name. Mic dropped. I'm out. I'm going on break.
I mean, Poe Ray Finn. Now that we have
is Brants. A fresher.
I mean, you know, I guess even with the original, here I go again. The original. I was going to say
threesome. You almost said menage a trois again, didn't you? No, I almost said
threesome, yes, right. The threesome of Luke, Leia, and Han. I mean, Leia, gross. I mean, you know, we're mixing up a little bit with her, but Poe Ray Finn.
It's they're lifeless. Their names are lifeless.
They are. They really are, man. So Brants. And Brants kind of continues in that.
Brants is less lifeless than that. If Brants is a last name, like Lieutenant Brants or something like that, then I have less of a problem with it. But as a first, but as a first name, it would fall almost as limp as the three that we've heard so far.
Brants.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, number two,
Brants.
Number two rumored character in The Force Awakens, Major Emaut or Emaut, E-M-A-T-T.
I'm coming over there.
E-M-A-T-T.
I'm going to share Mike E-Matt. With Michael.
Emaut.
Emaut.
Emmett?
Maybe? Yeah, Emmett maybe, or Emaut.
It looks like a different spelling of Emmett.
I think it's going to be Emaut.
You think it'll be Emaut? Emaut?
That's kind of what I'm leaning toward. Emmett seems a little too...
You think they wouldn't just change the spelling?
Emaut.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Emaut?
Hard to tell. That one's up in the air. It looks like it's E and Matt. So
I mean, not as bad. Maybe I mean, at least we've got two syllables, I suppose.
Yeah, we got another syllable, boys. High fives all around. Yeah.
All right, so number three, we have Captain Trilla or Tria, T-R-I-L-L-A.
Well, I don't think they speak Spanish, so I'm going to go with Captain Trilla.
Trilla. Okay, so Captain sounds like Trilla.
Trillion.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Hitchhiker's
Guide. Oh, right. I was like, where do I know that from?
Hitchhiker's Guide. Boy, gotcha. I haven't seen that in a while. But
I haven't read that in a while.
I don't know. I'm guess better with that one, but
none of these names sound cool.
They don't, I mean,
what's in a name? A lot's in a name, actually, you know, and all of these just sound like first draft role-playing characters.
Seriously.
By people who don't write or create characters for a living.
It just seems like that the writers just threw names out, you're right, and just kind of kept with them instead of giving them some thought. But yeah.
Meant to circle back around to them, but got too far into the process.
I hate to say this, but Elon Slezbogano sounds better than
Elon.
Elon, whatever. My
mispronunciation. Elon Slezbogano almost by, yeah. Well, the fact that his name was at least Elon.
You're right. I mean, I don't know.
There was something to it, you know?
There's something to grasp.
Slezbogano was not something that was said in the movie, so I never really cared.
They changed that later on to something else. I think it was Slezbogano or something like that. Slezbogano or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's when they realized that, yeah. Lumpy, we shouldn't call him Lumpy. We should call him something Lump-a-roomp.
We shouldn't call him Itchy. We should call him Itchitobuck. And we shouldn't call her Malo. We should call her Malotobuck.
Yes, right.
Which are great Wookiee names, man. Writers. See, when writers come in and actual, but these writers back in the day came in and said, all right, we need to retcon some dumb stuff to make it actually sound good. They put thought into it, and these names don't sound like they. It sounds like they're, you know, oh yeah, it was a friend of mine's personal assistant. I just named it that,
right?
And it's kind of like, okay,
yeah,
okay. Make your bed.
I'm starting to more and more come on board with you about the whole name thing.
Upside to the name thing is that in the movie, not everybody's going to walk up to everybody. You know, I don't walk up to go, Mike.
Right.
Hand me this, Mike. If I did, you'd be like, oh man, Corey's pissed at me.
Exactly.
And then you'd be like, shut up.
But when they are used, I don't know.
But if you were going into it not knowing any of it, I don't know if they would stand out as much. Yeah, Poe's really bad. Just,
yeah, it's really awful. Okay, the last one I had that's worth mentioning and is simply known as Gorwin the pilot. Gorwin. The pilot.
Gorwin, I'm fine with. I'm curious as to
it's Gorwyn.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. I depending on the actual personality of the character, that's fine. Gorwin's a fine name. Yeah, that works. That's the best one of the bunch.
Yeah.
That I've heard so far.
I would agree.
At least in terms of
it seems like from what we've heard, I mean, just there's kind of more questionable than there are acceptable.
Right. I worry that the smaller characters are going to be the ones with good names because other people are like, I don't care. Just give it a name. Someone's like, oh, I get to name something. And then they put effort into it. So okay, what else is going on? Do you have anything that's not going to make me cry?
Well, here's some. I hope this doesn't make you cry. I'm not sure what to think about this next one. The next one says that there is a rumor going around about a young Luke Skywalker. This is a little puzzling to me because we really don't.
He was young at some point.
Okay. We're going to back up and we're going to talk. He was young. You're right. But we're going to back up a little bit and talk about these spinoffs, right? So the spinoffs. Okay.
That's the realm that we're in.
Well,
I guess I'm looking for what's the context?
Young Skywalker?
You would have built that dramatically.
I'm trying to find the context. Okay. So
what would that movie be about?
he works on a farm station and power converters on a desert planet.
He's a pretty good pilot. You guys ready?
Okay.
Rogue Squadron spinoff, right? Okay. There's supposedly a Rogue Squadron spinoff. Okay. So I suppose there could be, maybe, possibly.
What would that have to do with a young Luke Skywalker, though?
Rogue Squadron? I don't know.
Rogue Squadron didn't exist when he was young.
Well, he was young in A New Hope.
Well, Here's the thing. They've got a guy earmarked, okay? And this guy's name, let me pull it up here real quick, is...
Poe Johnson.
No, that's not it. Poe
Johnson.
Robert Boulter. B-O-U-L-T-E-R. Is being discussed as a possible Luke Skywalker.
He's got some similar features.
Right. So, okay, that's what I thought when I first read this. Now, they're talking actually about possibly this is going to be a Force Awakens young Skywalker. in a flashback scene. And we've had these flashback rumors.
I was already saying, well, we've already got rumors of flashbacks, but like Carrie Fisher's daughter playing young Leia.
Right.
So in that context, it might make sense.
Right.
Boy, I really hope they're tasteful about that.
There isn't any evidence of this, like on an IMDb page or, you know, the actor or his, you know, management team or whatever, mentioning any of this, but somehow he's been associated with this, and that's what people are linking this to is flashback scenes. So I don't know. It seems we keep hearing this theme, so it seems more and more likely that we're going to see some kind of flashback in The Force Awakens. I mean, are you guys kind of settling into that? I mean, you guys accepting that as
you were the one that bumped against it the hardest when we first heard the rumor?
I still don't like it.
I don't either, but. I don't ever like when you take someone else and have them play a role that was already played by someone else. There are times where you can't avoid that and it's fine. Like, you know, okay, the new Star Trek cast, they're playing characters played by other people. And in the context that those other people still played those characters, cause you know, Leonard Nimoy, rest in peace, was in the new Star Trek movies. So it's, you know, Spock and Spock right there talking to each other.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. But for some reason, in the case of doing a flashback, it just feels like, you know, don't you have a better way to tell the story than where you don't have to do this?
Right.
You know, with Star Trek, it's like, all right, we're ripping the Band-Aid off. We're going whole hog. With this, if it is just, you know, some flashback scenes, I'm like, are we going to see him from behind? Are you going to CG in the faces of the other actors? You know, I mean. I thought about that, because now that guy's Luke. And that chick's Leia, who, you know, Carrie Fisher's daughter, who looks nothing like Carrie Fisher did.
Right.
So it's
we've talked about Tron Legacy before with what they did with Jeff Bridges' character. I mean, it seems like with our technology nowadays, they could, I mean, if you're going to try to go for that kind of look. Well,
and that character was like full on CG.
It was, you know, and it was a little stiff. We've talked about that.
There have been a lot of movies that have actually done overall younger versions of people who are older. And right, done them expertly. Different. I just saw something on the web the other day about a cut scene from the movie The Kingsman. I can't believe I remember this. There was a cut scene, a deleted scene that didn't make it into The Kingsman, which is in theaters now, that actually Michael Caine, they CG youthed up. I almost said euthanized.
Okay.
That's not what they did.
No.
That's not what they did to Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
No, Michael Caine was not murdered by the people making The Kingsman. But like, I saw a screenshot and I was like, holy nuts. Like, it didn't look exactly like Michael Caine at that age, but it looked like perfectly serviceable young Michael Caine. Like, if he hadn't been a movie star then, I would have looked at that and gone, yep,
right,
that's real and that's a guy.
See, to me, and they're getting better and better at that technology. I mean, pretty soon it's gonna be pretty dead on.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges' character was pretty stiff in Tron Legacy.
But
it was full CG the whole time. If they were just doing facial touch-ups, it might not be as much of an undertone.
Right.
It was enjoyable. It was totally enjoyable. I hope it's not just so blatant as, yep, these are the people playing these characters, even though here are the people that played them before also right here. And you're just not supposed to think of them at that age. Yeah. That'll be rough for me.
I'm still trying.
I don't believe that's the case. I have to think that that's not the case.
I'm still trying to understand from what we know about this picture and what we believe is going to be the overarching story, where I'm still trying to, in my mind, envision where does a flashback fit into that. I don't know. Well,
in your mind, a flashback does not fit into Star Wars at all.
Right. True.
Okay. I'm going to try this on you. What if Kylo Ren flow walks?
Then I will be really, really, really cool with that.
Total reversal. Because if Kylo Ren does something that only the character named Jason has done, then you're like, never mind. I will eat my crow.
And especially if he says it's flow walking, then I'll be like, oh yeah. Okay.
You totally accepted just because it came out of the EU.
Completely. Yes, I would. I'm that guy.
Only context in Star Wars where we've had flashbacks make legitimate sense.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not really a flashback. It's a force sensitive character actually like meditating into the past, actually going back and experiencing the past through the force, and called flow walking. And at the time when that first came about, that power was you know, received highs and lows with the fans. It was kind of like, you're messing with time, kind of.
Yeah.
And Star Wars isn't Star Trek. And, you know, there right. needs to be some boundaries. That's
the one thing. Yeah. I'm glad they haven't crossed that.
They got real, completely. Real close to right. fudging with time, but then they left it ambiguous, which was a good move at the right. time. Now it's all, you know, here nor there, but yeah. It would be interesting because that would bring, you know, the fanboy wet dream of Kylo Ren actually being either Jason or the Jason analog.
That would be yeah. sweet.
Now you're getting me excited, man. You get me too yeah. excited.
I just made you excited about flashbacks. You're welcome. Did. Now I just need Thank to figure you. Out how to graduate myself to appreciating Poe Dameron and Greg Giga, and then we can all convince all right. each other to be thrilled.
Well, speaking of young actors, we're hearing now that we have a new speculative actor that's going to be taking on the role of young Han Solo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In flashback?
No, this one. Okay. This one is actually associated with the spinoff movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember how last time we were talking about they're considering merging the two, the Han Solo and the Boba Fett movie into one movie.
Right.
Yeah, now we're completely trashing that. Now it's back to just Solo movie and a Boba Fett what? Movie.
Well, whatever.
The Boba Fett movie, I guess, is now being called a heist movie where they heist the Death Star plans. Which
Who
I'm
does?
Really, really not going to be cool with.
I know that's the thing. If Kyle Katarn is not involved in some way, I will be so sad.
No.
Even though I know Kyle Katarn all but doesn't exist now.
That's, again, aww, man, that's take sad. All this for with a grain of salt, man, because all this is rumors. And to be real honest, especially when we get into the next few items here on my list, you're going to see that, man, this stuff is all over the place.
Well, and I'm going to tell you right now that I sincerely believe, here's my own personal rumor, I sincerely believe that's your last episode of Rebels.
That they steal the Death Star plans?
You think I absolutely, they're already linked up to Bail Organa, who is still flying around in Tantive 4.
Right.
Guess what? Tantive 4 is where the Death Star plans end up.
Don't get me excited, because if they somehow work in Kyle Katarn into a Rebels episode,
if they could just, I mean, he doesn't have to be the sole thief.
Filoni on the line.
It's not like I need them to like fly up to the Moldy Crow and say, "All right, go down there and get it." And he does it all by himself, right. even though that, you know, hey,
that would be cooler.
I don't need that, but if he's just somehow cursorily involved, I would be like, he still exists. Thank you, Lord, because Kyle is my favorite. Oh. Kyle and Corinne Horn are my two favorite EU characters, other than Grand Admiral Thrawn. Okay, those are my three. My three favorite.
Keep going.
And Palin.
And my fourth.
This is really hard. No, honestly, three: Thrawn, Corinne Horn, and Kyle Katarn. And, you know, and it plus because, you know, I was always a Star Wars fan as a kid, but my first foray into the EU was playing like Dark Forces and TIE Fighter on my family's first computer. And so that first mission right out of the gates, you're stealing the Death Star plans.
That resonated
with me. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It resonated with me as a 14 year old kid,
right?
Like nothing else. Yep. And so that's like, I don't want to quite, even though I know it's a video game and yeah, you made it into a few novels here and there, but I just don't want to quite let that go.
I don't either, man.
So he's that would be sweet, character. But I really believe that they're going to be the ones who steal the Death Star plans. I think that's your last episode. And I think at some point, yeah, you're going to have, like I said before, you're going to have Ahsoka and Vader square off, and you're also going to have the team steal the Death Star plans.
You're making me too excited, man.
Rebels—they've laid themselves out a great path, and I think we're just waiting to see what it is. So
it's going to be so much.
Anyway,
fun.
Young Han Solo.
So movie. Yeah, so Boba Fett's got his own movie again, and now we're talking about Han Solo. So, it's funny you brought up the Kingsman, because, Kingsman actor Taron Egerton is the one being slated as the possible young Han Solo. And they're labeling this movie as an origination movie where he gets the Millennium Falcon, and it's like an origin story.
I know nothing about this kid.
I don't either.
I don't know how good of an actor he is. I don't know what he's like in real life. I don't know anything about this. He's a nameless kid, but every news site that's reported this uses the exact same picture.
Yeah.
I want to hit this kid in the face with a 2x4. This picture, this picture is the most rage inducing picture and should be for any dude on the face of the earth. Look at the look on this kid's mug in this picture.
I just
tell
like the
me,
big giant mole on his neck.
He's getting the, you know, he's standing in front of the Kingsman banner. And so he knows the photographers are all there snapping pictures. So he's got his photographer look yeah, on, right. You know, it's like, this yeah, is my, this is does. My furrowed eyebrows, flinty eyed look. And I'm just like, I want to beat you up myself. I want to hire other people to beat you up. I just want to watch you get beat up a lot. And in reality, kid could be great. Could be great actor. No yeah, idea. Yeah. I just, this picture is the one that's everywhere. And
I guess we'll find out.
I'm like, you ain't no Han Solo. You don't. You a millennial. You don't even have respect.
Well, that's when, we see Kingsman, I guess we'll find out. But yeah, I don't know. I'm cautious about it. Same reasons. I just
and he looks like a kid
him.
Too.
Well, I was gonna say he's just so young. A couple weeks ago we were talking about, you know, Bradley Cooper and stuff like that. And I was like, I could see that in my head. And you know,
I absolutely could see Bradley Cooper.
Right.
Do it.
But like this guy seems young and
well, that's the thing though. If Bradley Cooper did it, Bradley Cooper would be doing it as the Han Solo right, in the time frame that we
right.
already know.
Right. Exactly.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As much as I just said
either.
People playing characters that other people played, there was one example where I'm like, okay, I can actually see that person doing it,
right.
Which that's hard to do. I was surprised when we said that, and I was like, oh, you know what? This makes sense to me. But when it comes to, well, we can't do that, so let's do another time frame. It's like a kid Han Solo that's cheeseball. Yeah, it's easy. It's too easy. It's softball.
It's hard for me to swallow.
You're playing softball. Yeah. You're playing slow pitch softball. It's not interesting at all.
Okay. How about a Han Solo movie over different time periods? You start at the beginning with a young guy like this and you end the movie with an older Han Solo like a Bradley Cooper. Or is that just too overreaching?
Nah, I think that's too overreaching. Weird. Yeah, it is weird.
I mean, Star Wars is usually the best Star Wars movies are the ones that have a very simple plot.
Right.
Very simple beginning, middle, and end. And yeah. Just, you know.
You got a handful of locales and a couple right. top yep. three.
Yeah. I mean, A New Hope is a great example of that. I mean, you just have a very linear story. It's you know, beginning and end, and there isn't a much of, you know, flipping around all over the place. So.
Yeah. Empire flipped around a bit, and I think
just enough.
But yeah, I don't want to watch About a Boy : Star Wars. You know,
yeah. That's a funny show, I'm with you, dude. Man.
Or no, what do I meant to say? What A Boy's Life? What's the one they that was just at the Oscars? They filmed over the course of like 17 years or 13 years.
Right,
Boyhood. Star Wars : Boyhood, or the other way around. I don't know. I'm not saying it couldn't be interesting, but it just doesn't sound interesting to me. I'm not interested in a young Han Solo. I already read the books.
Yeah.
Whether or not the books exist or not, I don't want to see movies of those books.
Well, Well, here's the thing, man. All the rumors about
I'm not ripping on the books.
All the rumors about Han Solo dying at the end of The Force Awakens are back now.
Yeah,
remember he was going to die, and then he wasn't going to die,
yep.
And now he's dying again.
Yep.
So we're back to that, and you know the logic out there right now is that, you know, hey, if you kill Han Solo off at the end of The Force Awakens, there's going to be interest in a origin story or whatever. By all accounts, they're still going to do the Boba Fett first. And then we did hear
originally a long time ago, we were talking about Harrison Ford actually being a part of the spinoff. Back when we first started recording this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. The rumors were that Harrison Ford was not only going to be involved in the trilogy, but actually involved in a spinoff. So maybe they do it young Indiana Jones style. And at the end of the movie, you see Harrison Ford puddling around a museum wearing an eye patch for no reason. And see, unlike the old guy that they had do that in young Indiana Jones, that was not Harrison Ford. But I'm also not ripping on young. I love young Indiana Jones. Have you gone back and watched young Indiana Jones?
No, I haven't. But
people
love those. No,
they yes, don't. They do. So oh, boring. Come on. Well, they're not that exciting. I mean, this is Saturday night TV from the late 80s and early 90s. But, you know, I don't know. I think they hold up pretty well. A few of the episodes drag. That's true. But I don't watch it and go, oh, this is so 90s that I have a toothache. So just saying. But yeah, I can't get on board a young Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
A Han Solo movie in itself, I feel like. I'm going to say it again. More characters, new stories, new characters. You know, create new toys to sell. Yeah. Don't keep putting Han Solo's head on a Stormtrooper body forever.
I know. I'm kind of with you, man. I mean, go in different directions. I mean, Rebels seems like a good barometer for that, right? I mean, they seem to be having success with that. Why not try that in spinoff movies?
I don't know if the cinema industry
suits behind
they're
desks,
so risk averse,
crunching numbers. Yeah, they think, you know, Han Solo, that's a hot property. We can sell that.
You got Star Wars on it. It's going to be a hot property. People saw Episode 2 and 3 after Episode 1. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
I think you're going to be okay with Star Wars on the front of it. So anyhow, let's keep things moving. What's up next?
Well, the last one that we have is there's new rumors regarding Luke and his involvement in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And, I from the beginning, everybody was questioning actually how involved all three of the original cast members, you know, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill, how involved they were going to be in the film.
Yeah.
I think initially they were like, oh, they're going to be not very involved at all.
Yeah.
Then it was going to be like, oh no, it's been rewritten and they're going to be heavily involved. It's going to be all about them. And now it's been kind of tailored back a little bit. And, you know, what we're hearing now is that Luke, you know, we've heard a lot of rumors about Luke.
Yeah.
Over the last few weeks, you know, about, oh, there's going to be this big confrontation at the end of the movie. And,
right.
And he's going to go into a force rage and he's going to try to kill, you know, Kylo Ren, and Han begs him not to do it and all kinds of, you know, stuff. The latest rumors this week, which are kind of weird to me, and I'll give you the reasons why here in a second, but are that Luke's appearance in this film is going to be minuscule. Like, we're going to see him for like 2 to 5 minutes at the end of the very, very end of the movie.
Right.
That's it. And, I'm having a hard time swallowing that for a few reasons. The biggest one would be his time on set. I mean, he was in London for a few weeks. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like if you're doing a small cameo at the end of a movie.
I wouldn't call it a cameo.
That's what they're making it sound like.
No, 2 minutes in the movie is not a cameo. But, you know, there's also all of the prep time, like the costume tests and all that stuff. A lot of, for this type of movie, you can spend a couple of weeks alone just on the prep stuff.
So you're thinking that this is possible then, that his involvement
absolutely
in this movie,
and
could
it could
be
that they shot some extra scenes because they weren't sure what direction they were going to go in and made the decision late in the process too. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. And given what we've been hearing about his role, that, you know, the rumors that he's off guarding something and kind of loses his mind, we don't necessarily need to see. Do you want to see those scenes throughout wanted the movie to be peppered with scenes of Luke sitting there frothing at the mouth, struggling with this voice in his head, which is the rumor?
No,
that's dumb. All we need is have it conveyed to us and then see what the outcome is for him at the end.
Right.
So if any of that holds water, I think maybe it is a decision that makes sense to have him just be very, very, and then take a bigger role maybe in the next film.
And that's what the accounts are, is that he's going to be at the end of this film and he's going to be a bigger role in Episode 8.
Yeah.
So, and I guess maybe makes sense. If you remember, there was a rumor a few casts ago that we talked about that, you know, Force Awakens is going to be more of a Han Solo heavy movie.
Yeah.
You know, and that the other two would be more, one would be a Luke Skywalker heavy movie and the other, and one would be a heavy Leia movie.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe that kind of lines up with those predictions.
It could.
I don't know.
It absolutely could.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, well, is that all we've got?
That's all we got this week, man.
That was still a meaty episode.
It was a lot
of crazy stuff to consider. And yeah, I'm still standing fervently by the fanboy wet dream.
I'm liking it. I'm going to tell you guys something though. I mean, as far as the rumors go,
yeah.
I mean, they're coming hard and heavy right now. Actually, I'm kind of pulling this back a little bit because there's a lot of casts out there and blogs that are going. I mean, they're trying to get like every detail.
Oh yeah,
it is
going a little nuts even by our standards.
It is, and we like digging into this stuff. But I read these blogs and I listen to this stuff, and I'm just like, it's just so all over the place right now.
Yeah,
that I'm not going to take us down that route. I think we need to be, you know, just kind of hit some of the highlights.
The fun thing is when I say my predictions, I'm not basing it on anything more than what we talk about.
Right.
I'm not doing what you're doing. I'm right. not out there reading all the blogs because right. I still want there to be
yeah.
some surprise. Yeah. And like you, like we've said, when you hear it all, you don't know what's real, but I feel that I'm usually not terrible at picking out the plausibility, you know?
Sure. Right.
And so, like I said, I feel like I've already put the movie together. I'll be thrilled if I completely whiff, I'll be thrilled. That'll be the best thing that could happen.
Yeah. True.
I'm happy with the story that I've graduated and, you know, that I pulled right. together in my head
right.
from all this. But if I'm completely wrong, I will be nothing but thrilled about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really believe that just Han Solo is your Obi-Wan. You know, he's the veteran from the previous war who right. guides the new group through and dies at the end.
That's what they're saying.
Because JJ can't do something that's completely original lately. I don't say it's not outside of his ability, but right. lately it just seems that his way of paying homage is just doing the,
yeah,
it's, doing
it's,
it again.
Yeah. It's well, Lucas calls it poetic. It rhymes. It's like a rhyming, poem.
Yeah.
So that's what he,
and again, I like this story. Right. That I've come up with,
sure.
you know, so, you know, if I'm not being insulting when I say it sounds like something either. He'd do, yeah, I'm like, sure. no, it sounds right. good.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's something like completely different, oh, all the better.
Right.
All the better. Right. So anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for another fun filled adventure with the Fly Casual crew. Please follow us on Twitter at Fly Casual 1138 and follow along in the conversation and see all the great stuff that we put up there at Mr. Steve Potter in the UK. So you need to get on that. I need a beat. You need to drop a beat so I can put some lyrics to it.
Some foreign correspondent Steve yeah, Potter foreign in the correspondent UK.
Steve Potter in the UK have been putting together.
Yes.
And you know, and that's all kinds of stuff. News, rumors, memes, toys. It's the whole gamut. So please yes. follow us there and take part. Send us your questions and stuff that you'd like us to address on the podcast. I don't care if you want to, you know, hey, what's your favorite this? What's your favorite that? What do you hate about this? Anything you want, please drop it to us and we will weigh it heavily. With all the consternation it deserves. I almost said constipation. How you feeling, Howie?
Oh, much better now.
Okay, good. So anyway, also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/flycasualpodcast. And because a lot of that stuff is right there too. And get on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, give us a thumbs up, 5-star review, glowering, shining reviews. And we always very much appreciate that. And hey, feel free to brag about it. Maybe send us a note saying, hey, I just gave you guys this great review. And maybe we'll mention you on the podcast. I don't know. We're horrors. We'll probably do it.
Ooh, yes, so we will. Yeah.
Do that. Sure. And in the meantime, I'm Corey. That's Mike.
See ya.
Garrick's over there.
What's
Mike, up? Come back. We're not done. Bye. We're not signed out yet.
We're back not? In your stool.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And then Howie right here is now yeah. here.
Yes, I'm there and back again.
Yes, uh-huh. He was. And hey, guys, another yeah. good show.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Next one's 30. We're hitting our fourth decade of podcasting. Whoa.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Amazing.
The world's oldest podcast.
What?
Yeah. It's the internet. We can prove anything.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, that's true. We might have one of the world's oldest Star Wars podcasters on this show.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could
Who
be.
Knows?
I'm pretty old.
Yeah.
On average, in the meantime. Right? Cumulative.
Oh.
Cumulative.
There's like 100
we
years.
We are a foursome. There's a lot of twosomes out there.
So. That's right.
We're ancient.
We showed them.
Yeah, take that. Our wisety knows no bounds. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. We are Jelly. Was I really such a bad child? Did I deserve to get whooped with boards and hit with extension cords? Did you forget yep. that I was your creation and all I wanted from you all was love, hope, and motivation? Son, you're disrespectful when you're talking back. Get out my face. Kick me out the house and wouldn't even let me plead my case. Now I'm homeless and I'm freezing like the morgue. Only thing keeping me alive is the Lord.
What?
What?
That just happened.
Wait, what?
That was me dropping some rhymes on you.
Wait, what?
That was crazy.
Wait, what?
It happened.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
You guys there?
Hello?
No. Are you there?
I'm not sure I really am.
Yellow.
What a week I've had.
Yeah.
What do you mean by are you there?
Mike's not closer to the mic.
Nope.
And it's closer to the mic,
The mic is pointed at his neck, not his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.